Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. There are certain moments, certain events in life that can completely change the course of where a life is headed. A young man nervously asks a young lady to go out on a date with him. Little do they realize when she says yes, that that moment changes the path of their life for the rest of their lives, and because they will date and get married and start a family and grow old together. But I'll start with that ordinary moment. For the patriarch of a family, it's heartbreaking news. You have an aggressive form of cancer. Little does he realize, but that moment will change the lives of his wife and his three children forever, turn their life as a family completely upside down, and how it will end up is definitely not how they imagine it to be, but because he's going to be gone within a couple of years. He won't be with them. But also, little do they realize that even with such a tragedy, the Lord will eventually use it for blessing, not only for them, but for many others, as the descendants of those children go on to take the gospel out to many people. A family moves across the country, leaving behind the only home they have ever known. But little do they realize as they go through that big change that the Lord has waiting for them. New friends. New opportunities. New challenges, but also new blessings in their new home that will shape who they are and shape their lives forever in a way they never imagined back in their old home. Now, of course, we can all think of those "where were you when" moments in history. You know, those moments. I mean, for one generation, it was the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor that launched America into World War II and changed families and lives forever. For my generation, it was the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. But then there are those historic events that really, really change everything, but you would never know it. They don't get the press. They don't necessarily are that big and that obvious, but they're not so in your face, but they change the world. Like that moment when the man named Johann Gutenberg finally got his printing press running. Or when the Wright brothers finally got their plane or their flying machine off the sandy beach of Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, into the air. Or that time when a German monk who really cared about the people in his own congregation decided to walk up to the door of a church with a big broadsheet that had 95 statements on it and end up changing the world. Martin Luther posted the 95 theses launching the Reformation. Life always has moments that can change the course of our lives. Sometimes we notice them and they're obvious, and sometimes we don't. Some of those events, they're in-your-face extraordinary, yet so often those life-changing, life-altering moments happen in a much more ordinary kind of way. Like the birth of a child. Now, for mom and dad, that event is extraordinary. That is an extraordinary event because suddenly they have to keep alive a fragile, helpless, weak little human being who can't help himself or herself. They have to do everything they can to keep that child alive, to clothe and feed that child, to do everything they can. They have to care for that child as the child grows up. Their lives will never be the same after that moment. I remember having that sensation coming home after the birth of our first daughter. And going home, and everything looked exactly as it did when we left for the hospital, and go, it's not the same anymore. Births are times of great joy, but children are born every day. And most of the time when a child is born, and unless you're like a child of celebrity or royalty or something like that, it doesn't make the headlines. They're times of great joy, times of great change for the family, but they don't change communities. They don't change nations. They don't change the world when a child is born. If anything, the child recently born may possibly, perhaps, maybe, sort of, kind of, maybe, might grow up to be someone who is going to change the world, or maybe they won't, more likely than not. But at the time of the child's birth, no one knows. But what if tonight? Isn't it true that we're really here for the birth, for the celebration of a birth? We and people all around the world, we and peoples going back 2,000 years, have gathered around to celebrate a birth. A birth that in some ways is the most unassuming, ordinary, off-the-radar kind of an event. Yet in other ways, this birth changes everything. This birth changes everything because the child born this night is like no other in human history. It all started in a quiet garden. Our first parents, they lived in perfect harmony with God. They knew His will. They spoke His will. They thought His will. They acted. They lived out His will. But he had given them one command. Only one. He only had to give them one command, and it was this: to eat from any tree of the garden, but just preserve one for Him. Reserve that one as an expression of your love, as an expression of your worship for God, or face the real consequence of death. Because by taking from that fruit, you're basically making yourself your God. Yet in a moment of weakness, amplified by Satan's temptation, they chose to eat from that tree. In a moment of disobedience, they ruined all creation. They brought sin's corruption. They brought death into the world. And we have been dealing with the consequences of that one sinful act ever since. Rather than harmony, they lived in fear of God. Rather than peace, they found themselves at war with God. Rather than joy, guilt and shame crushed down in their hearts and minds and consciences. Rather than life, they faced the reality of death. Physical, spiritual, and eternal death. And they brought it on themselves. Now the Holy God had every right to strike them dead right then and there, to dust them and start all over again. Yet rather than condemnation, in that moment, God did something different. God showed them grace. They lifted their eyes as God proclaimed to Satan, "I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Yes, their moment of disobedience, it brought sin and death into the world, but the birth of that child who was promised would overcome sin and death and change everything. As time marched on, there were other moments when God guided or even had to step in and correct the course of human history to make sure that that promise would be fulfilled. There was that time when that promise was in such danger that God had to allow a global flood to protect the last remaining 8 believers on earth so that promise would keep going. Or there was that time when God commanded a man by the name of Abraham to pack up his family, immigrate to a land called Canaan with this promise in hand: in your seed. You see that word again from back in Genesis 3? In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Again, birth of a child is going to change everything. Now, God kept preparing the way through prophets and patriarchs, through judges and kings. Nations and kingdoms and empires rose and fell, each making their own impact, but all in service of the fulfillment of that ancient promise. Soon everything was ready for that child to be born, to enter our story, to enter our humanity, our history, and change everything. 400 years had passed without the Lord speaking to or through anyone, when suddenly an angel named Gabriel came to visit a young virgin named Mary and to do something rather ordinary: make a birth announcement. To let an expecting mother know you're expecting. Now this Mary, she wasn't an influencer. She had no important role in her community. She was just an ordinary person like anyone else. Probably would have passed through history, through the time in history, without us even remembering who she was, but God had another plan. She was just an ordinary believer who looked forward to the time when God's chosen one would come to save his people from their sin. And with that brief conversation about a baby, God changed Mary's life. He changed her fiancé Joseph's life, and she changed the lives of countless other people because the birth of Mary's child would change everything. Now, you would expect the birth of that child to be a cause for fanfare all over the world, that everyone, everywhere, people have been waiting all this time for the coming Savior, would be excited, everyone would be expecting, you know, this would be the event of human history. Everyone's got to celebrate because the promise made to our first parent is finally going to be fulfilled. But what were the people in the halls of power doing? The faraway imperial city of Rome in Italy, an emperor decided he needed tax money. To do that, he needed to conduct a census of all the people under his rule, all the people of the Roman Empire. And so he was going to conduct this census. Now this emperor, this ruler, Caesar Augustus, he was no ordinary ruler. He was a great ruler. One of the greatest, you could say, in the ancient world. He ended wars. He built roads. He started ruling with a republic built of brick and made it into an empire built of marble. By the time of his death, people worshipped this exalted one as if he were a god. But little did he realize he was just another cog in God's plan. He was merely a part of God's plan to change everything. And you can see that in Luke's recounting of the birth of our Savior. You can see it in the mass movement of people across the Roman Empire, but not merely for Caesar's by Caesar's decree, but by God's plan, as God is moving people to the right place and the right time. And he says this: in those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And everyone went to register, each to his own town. And then you read about the movement of a poor little family who aren't even a blip on Rome's radar. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the town of Nazareth, into Judea, to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and line of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his wife, who was pledged to him in marriage and was expecting a child. Then the moment. And so it was that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Give you a moment to catch your breath. Did it take your breath away? You're like, okay, yeah. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Yay! Mary's firstborn is a boy! All right, woohoo! That's how it reads. So simple, so ordinary, so much lead up, so much context on the global and the regional and the local and the family scene. And what happens? A mother gives birth to a child in the usual way. Yeah, it's Mary's firstborn son. But at first glance, all that's extraordinary about it is the fact that she didn't give birth in a home, or she didn't give birth in a hospital. She gave birth in a stable because she went to labor and there was no place for them to go. About as exciting as finding out that a mom couldn't make it to the delivery room before she had her child. It's a little blip, maybe an unusual story, but it's not a headline. But this child is no ordinary child. Yeah, he's human with a belly button, just like the rest of us. But this child is not just another human child crying as he enters the world, needing the comfort of his mother and the swaddling of his adopted father. This is no ordinary birth that simply changes the life of a family or even the life of a small community. This birth changes human history. This birth doesn't just seem to change everything. No, the birth of the child gets it done. He does change everything. And to help us understand that and why that matters for us, we need to step away with Luke from the manger for just a moment. We'll get back there. We step away from that moment to stand with a group of nameless shepherds outside Bethlehem. An angel of the Lord has appeared to them in terrifying glory to do something ordinary. Share good news. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Why does this birth change everything? This birth takes away fear. This child comes to change our relationship with God by his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his destiny. He comes not to bring fear, but to bring joy for all of us. He comes to keep the promise God made long ago to our first parents in that quiet garden. They were weighed down with guilt and shame of the first sin. This child comes to save you. To be your Savior. To be God in the flesh for you. To be God with you. To be God's chosen one for you from manger to grave. This child who is the Virgin's firstborn boy and lying in the world's most unassuming cradle has entered our earthly reality to rescue us from the guilt and the shame and the pain that we feel each day, from the fear and the anxiety and the worry that troubles our minds, from the grief and the loss and the weakness that we carry on our hearts and minds like a heavy weight every day to deal with our death and transform it into life. This child comes to change everything, to change world history, to change the culture of humanity, one soul at a time, to change us. So what do you know? That good news caused all the hosts of heaven to sing. That child born that day, in that place, caused all the hosts of heaven to sing and rejoice. That child, born that day, in that place, transformed nameless, ordinary shepherds into zealous missionaries. This child comes to change everything by restoring peace between us and God now and forever. This birth changes everything. Good news unlike any other. A Savior for you. God's chosen one who is the Lord of all and Mary's Son. Peace, goodwill, joy now and forever. This child changes everything for me, for you, for all. Glory to God in the highest. Amen.